If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
It's more of an education thing, right? So a lot of people, especially those new to multifamily investing, aren't aware of the value that they have there, right? So let's say there's a cable company and I'm a resident of yours and you own a multifamily property, okay? And let's say that's in Cleveland, Ohio. So let's say that, you know, the cable company gets a franchise to operate in Cleveland. All that does is it gives them the right to be in the public easements. It doesn't give them the right to be on your personal property, Sam.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Kevin spent nearly 20 years with Comcast and was responsible for managing the team that negotiated telecommunications access agreements with multifamily property owners. In 2007, Kevin started Telecom Marketing Strategies, the parent company of Multifamily Utility Solutions, and then it became its own entity to better serve the needs of multifamily property owners. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know what? We might even just keep that butchered intro in there and, kick this thing off really awkwardly. How are things in your neck of the woods today?
Hey, man, everything's going up from here on out, right?
Right. Absolutely. Where are you based out of?
I am based out of Northeast Ohio, Cleveland suburbs.
Okay, cool. Very, very cool. Hey, you know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show is, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there? And, you know, really just use this time to kind of not just plug your company, but tell us the value that, you know, really sits in a lot of our multifamily properties we probably just don't know about.
Yeah. So for me, where did I start? I actually started selling cable door to door for Comcast. And I worked myself up, moved around a lot, kept getting additional responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities was, you know, overseeing the team that negotiated with multifamily property owners for the right to be on their property and serve their residents. So I gained that experience and I leveraged that experience. And when we started our own company, as you mentioned, basically, our first clients were Comcast and Charter, and we represented them when we worked with multifamily owners. And so they eventually took that work in-house. They didn't contract it out anymore. So we said, well, as long as we're at the table and negotiating anyhow, we'll just take our chair and slide it to the other side and help the multifamily property owners and negotiate with companies that were our former clients.
Now that's fascinating. So Comcast figured out that they could move it in-house and either save money or get better deals. I mean, why do you think they took that in-house?
You know, I think there's a certain stigma with using third-party vendors sometimes that, you know, the perception is better that if we have our own employees doing it, they'll have more of a vested interest.
Right.
That's the only thing that, you know, I can understand, because I know we were closing a lot of deals for them. And, you know, I don't know, when you use a third-party vendor like us, right? So if a multifamily property owner engages us and we represent them, we only get paid if we deliver.
Right.
Our business model is, if we don't bring money into your pockets, we don't get anything for it. We don't work on retainer, hourly rate, or anything like that. We're 100% straight commission. So I don't know. I don't see what the downside, but you know what? I got to tell you, the work we're doing now is so gratifying, and I love it.
So tell us the problem. Like, what problem are you guys solving?
Well, it's more of an education thing, right? So a lot of people, especially those new to multifamily investing, aren't aware of the value that they have there, right? So let's say there's a cable company and I'm a resident of yours and you own a multifamily property, okay? And let's say that's in Cleveland, Ohio. So let's say that, you know, the cable company gets a franchise to operate in Cleveland. All that does is it gives them the right to be in the public easements. It doesn't give them the right to be on your personal property, Sam. And if they're not on you, if they don't have the right to be on your personal property as the owner of the multifamily property, then they can't serve me, the customer, because they can't go to me for because I can't grant them the right to be on your property. So there's asset value there, right? And so a lot of people don't realize that. They just think that because they're there, they have the right to be there through a franchise or something like that. So we represent the owners, and we try and get them fair compensation from the cable company for the right to be on there, because without your permission to be there, they can't have me as a customer, and they're not going to be, you know, generating revenue for themselves. So we really help generate revenue for you.
How many times have you guys gone into a situation where there's maybe been a cable company serving that apartment complex for an extended period of time, and they've never paid for that right to be there? And then you guys say, hey guys, by the way, now you need to pay us. I mean, how does that conversation go?
Yeah, often. Well, it's kind of understood if they can be there without paying, they're going to continue to be there, right? So now they didn't just automatically say, hey, we're going to come over here and we're going to get on this property without any permission. At some point, they had something, right? They had a grant of easement or some paperwork that, you know, who knows? Maybe this property is 40 years old. You know, at some point it was there. One owner sold to another owner, one cable company sold to another cable company, and over the years, because they didn't used to record those documents, right? So there's no record of it. So they were there. Nobody came there and intentionally, you know, bypassed the rules. But over the years, that paperwork has been lost, whatever. And so now we're the ones, and they're going to continue to operate, right? Why wouldn't they? If I can operate and not pay, or I can operate and pay. So we go and you know, but it really turns out to be a win-win for them too, because even though they're paying, in many cases, we are actually, the owner is helping them, because then the owner might have what's called a revenue share, where they get paid a percentage of the revenue. So they're going to help the cable company increase the number of customers, because they're going to make them the preferred provider. When somebody new moves in, they're going to say, hey, Joe Smith, guess what? Here's our preferred provider. They may do things in their leases to prohibit people from having dishes, right? And things like that, that would help the cable company. So, you know, there's value to both ways, and it is really a win-win. But, you know, if they don't have to and they can be there without, they're probably going to do that.
Right. And I mean, how many people, when you say cable, I'm assuming that encompasses, you know, everything from cable TV to internet. I mean, that's probably the more demanding or the more popular item these days. I would assume that, you know, internet service. And is that something else you guys deal with when you say the word cable?
Yeah, when we say cable, we mean the traditional cable companies that started out delivering cable video, but it really is whatever comes in over that wire.
Right.
So we're actually negotiating the rights for them to have that wire there. Whatever services they deliver, voice, video, data are all included in that.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I would have assumed. What sort of money are people leaving on the table if they don't bring somebody like you in to help that understands this? Because, I mean, you know, I'm partners on some multifamily property, and I have no idea what the value is that you could bring to the table. So, I mean, what are people leaving out there that we just don't know about?
Sam, thanks for asking my least favorite question of all time.
You're welcome.
Well, here, because just like, you know, just like when you go out and you buy a multifamily property, there are so many variables that play into it, right?
Sure.
Where is it? How big is it? How much deferred maintenance is there? You know, a lot of different variables. We face the same thing.
Sure.
So it depends on the market. It depends on the size of the property. It depends on how many customers are in there already. You know, there are a lot of variables in that. Typically, there are two types of contracts that we negotiate. One is called a right of entry or a right of access agreement. And in that, the owner is simply granting to the cable company or the telecommunications company the right to be on their property to acquire customers. And then they bill them directly. In our example earlier, the contract would be between you and the telecommunications company, but I would be the one paying them for the service that I decided to take. What we typically get on those is a door fee, which is a one-time upfront payment in exchange for the agreement being signed. And then we negotiate what's called ongoing revenue share, which is basically you would then get on a quarterly basis a percentage of the revenue that they generate from your asset. So it's a combination of both. And those things can range depending on who is the cable company, you know, or the telecommunications provider. Are there others in the market? Because there are some markets where there are competing, you know, service providers. And in those markets, obviously, it's a little bit more competitive. The rate to be in there exclusively is going to be, you know, more beneficial for them. And then the revenue share is just going to, you know, be a matter of how well do we help grow that business? Because often, most of the time, it's a sliding scale. Mm-hmm. So the higher, you know, if you've got 100 units and you've got 50 customers, you might get 4% of the revenue. If you've got 100 units and you've got 25 customers, you may get 2% of the revenue. So in that example where you've gone from 25 to, you've helped the cable company go from 25 to 50, you've not only doubled the revenue, but you've doubled your percentage of the revenue that you're going to get from 2 to 4.
Right, right.
So that's why there's so much variance, and it's not a simple answer like, oh, you'll get $100 here and $1,000 a month.
And you answered the question. You answered the question in the way I should have asked it. So that was the, yeah. Very good. Understood. You gave the information I was looking for. So
thanks for reading
through my, or listening through my poorly formed question. What are some gotchas? Like, what are some things that people are signing in these agreements, maybe without the help of an expert?
You know, most of the time, it's just that they don't know that this service is available. Mm. They don't have an agreement. You buy a property. I can't tell you how many people come to me. I say, you know, I try and explain our service to them, and they say, well, I don't pay for the residence cable service, so I don't need an agreement. And that's where we have to inform them. So it's mostly leaving money on the table. And if they do decide to negotiate it themselves, it's a matter of time, right? I mean, how much time are you willing to put in to make do the negotiation, to find the person you're supposed to talk to have somebody who has literally done thousands of these agreements, you know, say, is this a good deal? Is this a fair deal? Is this not a fair deal? You know, I tell people, it's like, could I technically build my website? Probably. But is it going to take me longer and not be as good a product at the end of the day as if I contract with somebody who specializes in that? Yes. So let me take my time and devote it to the things I do best, and let somebody else whose service I need and can benefit from take their time and do what they do best.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Just simple division of labor. Like, yeah. These aren't things I want to become an industry expert in. I just want to know that it's available. I think that's interesting. You say the biggest ones that people just don't know. We just don't know. So what are some things maybe that we should be doing right, I guess, you know, as it pertains to this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is contact us, because we do free assessments, right? So if you came to me, Sam, and you said, here's three properties I own, you give me the name of the property, the primary address, and the number of units or lots, because this pertains to mobile home communities as well, multifamily. Mm-hmm. If you give me that information, we'll go do the research to find out and give you an assessment and say, here's what we found. There's no agreements in place. There is an agreement in place. You just didn't know about it. It's still got 5 years left on the term. And here's the negotiations. We had one of our really great clients down in Dallas. They bought a property, big property, that already had a contract in place, and we knew it. But we helped them by making sure that the revenue share that was associated with the property got converted from the old owner to them.
Right.
Now, we didn't charge anything for that, because we're here for a long-term, you know, mutually beneficial relationship, not short-term cash. We've got enough other business going where we've done deals for them that's just part of the service we provide. We help them out. And so now we help them. We had the contact. We said, here's what you need to do. We know the process. Give us this information, proof of ownership change, and a new W-9. We'll get it sent in and submitted to the right people. And then the revenue share checks will start coming to you.
That's really interesting. I mean, I know you mentioned the multi-utility provider scenario. Like, what are some best ways to maximize that scenario?
Well, I mean, in the event that there are two companies that can bid against each other, it's very beneficial. So, for example, we have a situation going on right now that we're negotiating in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where there are two providers. Comcast is one, and the local power company also has an internet service available. And we are negotiating. The owner there, because of the property, and this is the other, we talked about the right of access agreement. I mentioned a second type of contract. The second type of contract is what's called a bulk agreement. And that is where the owner would buy the service for all the residents on the property and then charge either an amenities fee or a higher rent and make that margin. Mm-hmm. So let's say you wanted to provide internet service and maybe you felt like you could charge a $50 ancillary, amenities fee, but you're only paying $25 for it. So you're going to make the extra. The catch there is that every single one of the you pay for every single unit, regardless of whether or not it's occupied, regardless of whether or not the resident uses it or wants it or anything like that. So there's some catches. And that's why the first thing we do is we want to listen to the owner and find out more about what are your goals? What are your properties? What are your goals? Are you keeping these things long term? Are you, are you trying to divest of them? Are you trying to refinance? What are your goals? Because certain ones of these contracts can help you further your other business goals as well. So that's kind of how we take a look at it. But that's a bulk agreement, what's called a bulk cable agreement. And we negotiate those as well. And in the situation in Chattanooga, they're doing a bulk agreement there. And we've got two companies competing against each other for that business. If that same agreement were in, another city, Lansing, Michigan, or something like that, we wouldn't have a second provider where there would be an option. So that's the other thing is we bring the institutional local knowledge because we can do business anywhere in the country.
Right, right. When you do a bulk agreement, does the cable provider, whoever it ends up being, do they end up providing the hardware that then puts that internet throughout your facility? Or is that something that you have to purchase separately?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways to do it. They can do what's called a bulk where they provide the actual modem to each unit, or you can do what's called a managed Wi-Fi service, which is more of a service that is there is more hardware on that one. And it's done and it's expanded to the entire property. A couple different options, a couple different ways, and we'll look at all that. I've got a technology advisor, right? Some of this stuff is getting pretty intense and it keeps evolving all the time. And what's 5G and all that kind of stuff. So I have a technology advisor on staff who's a engineering geek who loves all that stuff and wants to know all that stuff. And so when there's any doubt, he weighs in on some of the options that are available. So we have that resource available to us as well.
Right. Yeah. All of these are things that a lot of us just don't think about. Is there a class of property where this doesn't make sense?
No. Every single one, it makes sense to do an agreement of some sort. You may not get as much revenue or door fee, and you may not want to go bulk in certain situations. Bulk tends to be better on the higher end, A's, B's, right? Mm-hmm, sure. But also some of the door fees and the revenue shares tend to be higher on those end as well. Okay. I don't know that I've seen a D where it makes sense to do bulk. Not saying they're not out there. I'm just saying I don't know that we've done one in that situation.
How about size? Like, is there a certain number of units you need before you start going down this path?
Well, the sweet spot is 100 on a property, but and here's the other thing that we do, because we do business with multiple clients across this, across the country, is we maintain a database of all the properties. And we try and create leverage, right? So we try and create pseudo portfolios if they're smaller properties that may not on their own be worthy of something significant. If we can combine them with others that we may be working in that same market, we can generate more revenue for somebody that might not have had it. So the rule of thumb is they don't do contracts under 20 units for a property. Usually between 20 and 40 is kind of somewhat subject, it's kind of negotiable, but then 40 to 100 we'll probably be able to do a contract. It just may not be one that's really financially advantageous to do. There at some point there's just not as much money in those smaller ones. Once you get to 100, then it starts becoming more meaningful. And certainly, as it goes up from there, even more so.
Right, right. Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. Very, very good. Anything else here before we wrap up that we should know about what it is that you do and how to maximize value with these contracts?
You know, I guess I would leave you with two thoughts. It's never too early in the if you're in the due diligence process. I've seen numerous times where there's been a contract, but it hasn't for some reason shown up in due diligence. Like we talked about before, it's been lost in the process. So feel free to contact us because, again, we don't get paid unless you get paid. So what's the harm? A little bit of time. You know, and the other thing is our name, Multifamily Utility Solutions. This is our wheelhouse. This is where we really thrive. And this is the area where we're subject matter experts. But the reason we went to Multifamily Utility Solutions is we have partner companies and other resources in any other utility out there. So if you need to talk to somebody about trash removal, we got a guy. If you need to talk to somebody about electric or gas in deregulated markets or submetering for water, any of those sorts of things, we have connections and we set up those things because we want to be, you know, a resource for the multifamily, you know, industry.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Kevin, here's the final four. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
It's get started, right? I mean, I think that's the advice. Don't get started foolishly, but get started.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
You know what? I read every day. I absolutely read. I read. I usually have two different books going, and I only read nonfiction. I usually read a business book. I just completed one on negotiation by a guy named Chris Voss, who was a FBI negotiator called Never Split the Difference. Awesome book. Awesome book. And then I also read one personal development type book as well.
That's awesome. That's great. When it comes to giving back, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
You know, I have been involved in the recovery community for over 5 years now. And so I serve on the board of a local recovery housing facility. So I'm helping them every way I possibly can. And I also serve as a sponsor for five gentlemen dealing with their own recovery.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. That's I'm sure it's a difficult but redemptive work. So thanks for doing that. That's cool.
It's rewarding when it works, and it's frustrating and disappointing when it doesn't. But, you know, we count the victories.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Okay. Our website is multifamilyutilitysolutions.com. And I'm simply Kevin at multifamilyutilitysolutions.com. My phone number's on there as well. But again, it's never too early, you know, and if they have any questions, we answer questions all day long. We love it. I mean, that's part of what we do is we educate.
Right. No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Kevin, thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.